Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from a snowy London is Andre Bywater from Quarterly Compliance. Mixed all his work-related duties, Andre is also a frequent speaker at SCCE meetings. Andre, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Adam. Delighted to be doing this again.
So, thank you. We're going to be talking today about the UK Modern Slavery Act. It's one of those things, modern slavery and human trafficking, people don't realize is a compliance issue, but it in fact is. Andre, I think it would be good if we start with a summary of what the UK Modern Slavery Act requires of business. Can you give us a quick overview?
Absolutely. You're right that people are still a bit ignorant about this. I mean, it's only been going basically since sort of 2015, 2016 in the UK. And basically, if an organization carries on business in the UK, and that could be selling into the UK, so you could be outside and caught by it, and you're supplying goods or services, and you have an annual turnover, that's total revenue or sales, of 36 million UK pounds, you have to put together a compliance statement about modern slavery that you have to put on your website, and you have to do that basically once a year. So if your reporting period, your financial period is all of 2018, you're going to have to put your statement up early in 2019. And what you're basically doing is you have to set out a number of things. You have to say what you've been doing in terms of due diligence, training, how you're measuring to see that there's no kind of slavery either in the business or the supply chain. And people often overlook that. They think it's just about the supply chain, but it can cover the business as well. And there's no obligation to, if you like, stamp out slavery completely. What you're being asked to do is to say what you're doing about trying to combat modern slavery and so on. And in, the language can be very simple. It doesn't have to be a particularly long document. I have seen some big ones. But as I say, you can keep it fairly short and sweet. And this is an obligation. There are kind of possible enforcement measures that can be taken against you. But to be honest, that's a little bit weak at the moment, and I can come on to that a bit later in our call.
Yeah, it's, we'll definitely get back to that. And it bears noting that this is a requirement that a lot of people may not be familiar with. Yes, it is about reporting what you're doing. However, because you need to report what you're doing, it does force organizations to take the time to look and make sure that there really isn't any human trafficking or modern slavery in their supply chain or within their own work. And, you know, as several companies have seen over the last few years, there actually tends to be much more than people think. Now, late last year, in 2018, the UK government issued its annual report on modern slavery. One of the things that came out of this act, what did they find?
Well, guess what? Modern slavery isn't going down, it's going up. And they kind of provide figures about that, and they're concerned that it's going to rise over time. It does seem that bodies are notifying the police, including local organizations and so on, and the police are prosecuting. But the unfortunately, business activity compliance does come in for a bit of a hit. And although they give examples of where they have been good, very specific compliance practices, and they are also somewhat critical about the sort of lack of things that people are doing, people not preparing their statements properly or not even preparing statements at all.
Yeah, I think I read something like 40%+ didn't even bother submitting a report.
That's right. That's right. But what the really interesting thing is about what they have done, the government in the UK, is that they actually issued letters to 17,000 CEOs, basically saying they were non-compliant. So this, they've really kind of upped their game in terms of pushing things forwards regarding enforcement. But you're absolutely right about that statistic.
Well, dismaying, but it sounds as if this was a bit of a warning shot for business. Is it likely to portend future enforcement action now that people have been warned?
Well, one of the plans that the government has is they are going to publish a list of non-compliant companies. I don't know if I move on to this now, Adam, but there will be changes, we think, to the legislation. There are plans already afoot on that to bring in more and harder enforcement, if you like.
Well, let's keep going in that regard. So, you know, there is potential other legislation pending. What would it require?
Well, there are two things that are happening. There's one piece of draft legislation going through the UK Parliament where they want to introduce things like the areas that you are recommended to report on in your statement will be mandatory, and they want to have a centralized government list about who has to report. And one of the sanctions they want to introduce is that if you don't publish a statement, you'll be excluded from public contracting. At the same time, there's another review process going on in the UK Parliament, and they're looking at this much wider, and they are certainly looking at introducing tougher action, including recommending that some kind of fine be introduced, you know, a financial penalty for non-compliant organisations. So the game is definitely, as I say, it's moving on definitely towards more enforcement.
Well, interesting. I mean, it does seem like something where, you know, standards are likely to rise, and with it, the compliance requirements. So let's go back for a second. From what's already happened in terms of companies' disclosures, the warning letters sent to CEOs by the UK government, the proposed regulations or legislation that's pending, are there any lessons that can be taken away for companies looking to either disclose for the first time or to improve what they are disclosing?
Well, I think if somebody hasn't been disclosing, I think they should be getting a bit nervous now, because as I've indicated, the government's really starting to name and shame by sending like these letters to CEOs. Also, we know that certain, shall I call them activist groups, concern groups, are also getting into the naming and shaming game. And even at the level of litigation, we're seeing people bringing cases for compensation against businesses. So I think, you know, this whole modern slavery compliance thing is a reality now, and there are no excuses for non-compliance. But if you're a first timer, you know, you want to put together kind of your checklist, some kind of budget about what you're going to do, you want a task responsibility, you want to get the board on board. And I think really, really important thing is you'll need to do some kind of supply of your supply chain, get your policy in place and so on. You may need to have a crisis management team because let's say you get some headline in the newspaper accusing your business of employing slaves, as it were, or slave labor, child labor and so on. You might need to deal with that. And as always, Adam, with all compliance, training. And it's very easy, I think, to train people on spotting the signs of modern slavery. And I think it's something that people in an organization really do buy into as a form of compliance.
So you touched on something there at the end about training of what people should be looking out for. Are there a few tips you can provide as to what organizations should be looking for in their supply chain that may be a sign that there is some slave labor there?
Yeah, absolutely. And as it's not just the supply chain, as you've also mentioned,
right.
It's your own business. So, I mean, for example, if you're on a construction site or in a factory, you may want to see how, you know, how are people transported to the construction site? Are they being herded into some kind of van and no one can speak to them? Have people got their identity documents, or have those been taken away? It's that sort of thing. It's a kind of look and feel, gut feel for, you know, what people, how they're behaving. Are they withdrawn? Are they scared? Sometimes people are put in accommodation on a construction site, and I'm not picking on construction. I mean, this can happen in any place. They're put into accommodation. You might want to check that accommodation. You know, do they have all running water? That kind of stuff. So those are sorts of things you can think about.
So basically, you know, take a look around and see, does the workforce look like it's there of its own free will, or is it there just because it really doesn't have any choice?
Exactly, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Right. Well, Andre, thank you for this update on the UK Modern Slavery Act and some practical advice also on what to look for when assessing both your workers and those at suppliers. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Chiltau from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.